The pig that launched the thousand ships, Evan Lazar, scrubbed by the team. Or Mega, was Mega implying that he scrubbed himself there?
Yeah, she was kind of inferring that there was a chance that maybe he scrubbed himself. Saw too much heat coming that way, and he was like, nah, I don't want to take this. Which just made it worse for him.
Yeah, I mean,
Everybody's supporting him or his take.
People are all saying, "Oh, he didn't do anything wrong."
No, he did, but he didn't. Like, it's,
I don't think he did anything wrong there.
No,
I mean,
we have
our job, so it's different. But yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, it's as a reporter, like you're supposed to tell the people what you see.
Right.
Right. Like as a guy who's in the locker room, and I think it meant a little bit more to people just because he was he's technically employed by the team.
Sure.
But I don't think
it's different if we say it or if, you know,
But realistically, it's really no different than Mego being like, yeah, I'm in the locker room every day and this is what I'm seeing. They're teetering on mutiny. Like, that's kind of was my whole thing is it's like maybe, yeah, he used too strong of a word, mutiny. Maybe he should have said, yeah, it seems like there might be some infighting or something. I don't know. But
there's an expectation that Patriots.com and RedSox.com and Celtics.com
are super homer.
Not even super homer, but that if there was a mutiny forming, that they would find a way to say it in a softer way, right? You know, like you wouldn't expect to get the raw truth like that.
Yeah, but he also didn't outright say that there is a mutiny.
He said they were teetering. That's true.
You know, so it's, you know, it's not like he's saying, yeah, the players are revolting against Gerard Mayo, which is just factually incorrect. His opinion on what he saw was that guys were teetering on mutiny and that if things kept going awry, you know, guys may really start to call people out. And I think that was fair.
Yeah, I think so too, and I think that puts a ton of pressure now onto this game and this matchup.
No doubt.
And for the Patriots this week, it's not just the game against the Dolphins, it's not just the division game. I think in terms of wins and losses going forward, there's not going to be a lot more games here that really matter. This one's going to. This one's going to be, I think in some ways, a referendum on the culture, on the new culture that they have in Foxborough. It's going to be a referendum in some ways on Jacoby Brissett based on the comments there from Lazar and whether or not the team's still behind him. I think it's going to be Gerard Mayo up on the block here, along with Van Pelt, along with Elliot Wolf, along with everybody. If they're teetering on a mutiny, and even if that's strong, okay, even if it's something less than that,
sure,
they're teetering.
Yeah, they're there.
This is something that could topple you over if you're teetering.
Absolutely.
A loss to a team like the Dolphins with no quarterback who have scored fewer points this year than you have.
Yeah, as you've pointed out, they scored, their first touchdown in like 9 quarters last week. And so that is absolutely a possibility. And this line, by the way, continues to move in the Dolphins' favor. They're now 2-point favorites in this game.
Is that so?
I would not be shocked if this line gets almost to 3 by kickoff. Like that, I think you're seeing a lot of late money come in on the Dolphins, knowing that they have Raheem Mostert. The Patriots have some injuries, especially at the safety position. Like, I would not be shocked if some sharp money starts coming in late here on the Dolphins.
Yeah, it wouldn't shock me either. There was one little bit of good news for the Patriots here, I would say, in the when we announced the inactives, who we didn't announce, which is Michael Jordan and Vedarian Lowe's back. And listen, I mean, whatever you think about Vedarian Lowe, he's their best tackle.
Shockingly,
Michael Jordan, I don't know if he's a great guard or not, but I know that just having more bodies out there to go along with Jordan and the rookie...
City So.
Also Layden Robinson is the name I couldn't think of. But like, yeah, those are other guys. So we'll see what he looks like. Lowe's been out for 2 games. Jordan missed last week. And, you know, with Leverett starting at center, you got an O-line of Lowe, Jordan, Leverett, So or Robinson. We'll see who they end up starting, and Mike Onwenu, which all things considered, might be the best look offensive line they've had since week 1.
Yeah, so just going by the depth chart on ESPN.
Outside of Andrews, obviously.
Going by the depth chart on ESPN, it looks like they would start Cidiso and Layden Robinson at guard. Michael Jordan wouldn't even start at guard.
Okay.
He would be like the rotational guy or the guy that would come in. But even still, like, this is, outside of David Andrews, the healthiest the offensive line has been all season.
Yeah.
And so if there was a chance that you were going to run the football effectively and be pretty good, this may be the week. A team that doesn't have a great pass rush and an opportunity here with health on the offensive line outside of the center position to have some success. And that'll be kind of really the key here is how good is Leverett. I mean, Jacoby Brissett even outright said, you know, when David Andrews is out there, I'm kind of just the co-host.
Right.
I just kind of do the stuff. He helps me a ton. And so not having Andrews out there is going to be a massive deal for this offensive line.
The defense for Miami, you just said, doesn't have a great pass rush, and I agree with you. It's not a great pass rush, but Miami's defense or the Patriots' defense?
As currently constituted, like with injuries and everything?
Yeah, with injuries.
I'd probably take Miami.
I think I would, too. I think I would, too.
Even without
all the injuries, they, you know, Campbell up front, Ramsey in the secondary, Fuller, who they picked up this offseason, who I like.
No Poyer today, but still.
Yeah, you know, like Robinson, I thought, yeah, Robinson was a good draft pick. Brooks they picked up from Seattle in
the
offseason.
What's the deal with Jalen Phillips? Is he on IR?
I don't know.
Because he wasn't on the inactive
Phillips.
List.
Let's see. Jalen Phillips.
But I also don't see him on the depth chart.
On injured reserve, yeah.
Okay.
He's on injured reserve. So is Bradley Chubb and a couple other guys there. But, yeah, that's the thing. And it's not, listen, I don't think the Dolphins' defense is great.
No.
But they do have playmakers at all three levels, even with the injuries. I think that's something that I don't just take lightly. It's not, they're not as good as San Francisco or, you know, some of these other defense, even the Jets defense might be better, but that's not a bad unit.
I make a bold, somewhat tangential statement?
Sure.
The Miami Dolphins undoubtedly have the best named player on the field today.
Emmanuel Ogba?
No. Defensive back Storm Duck.
Storm Duck?
I'm not kidding you. He's a rookie defensive back out of Louisville. Storm Duck.
Storm Duck.
Yeah.
How have I never heard of this guy?
Yeah. Rookie, he was awesome. It was a lot of fun to talk about in the draft process. He wasn't very highly drafted. I want to say middle to late round.
I need to know everything about this guy. Duck.
Yeah,
okay. Duck,
rookie out of Louisville.
Duck is the son of Phyllis and Todd Duck. He was named after Storm Logan, a character on the soap opera The Bold and the Beautiful.
There you go. See, I told you. Real player.
He grew up in Greenville, South Carolina, moved up to Spartanburg when he was 7. He played 3 years as starting corner at Boiling Springs High School in the state playoffs as a semifinals as a sophomore, intercepted a would-be game-winning touchdown, 3-star recruit. Duck made his first start for North Carolina in 2019, made 13 appearances, 9 starts as a freshman, led the Tar Heels in interceptions and passes defended. So he played with Drake, right? He must have played with the Drake.
He transferred. I think he ended up going to
Louisville. Oh, he transferred to Louisville at the end. Okay, yeah. So maybe he didn't play with the Drake. Well, either way, the Duck didn't play with the Drake. Drake and Duck on the same team would have been amazing.
Oh, that would have been
come on.
What a miss.
The Drake-Duck connection could have been something special. I know he's a defensive back, but imagine if he was a wide receiver and it was Drake throwing a Duck.
That'd be amazing.
That would be great. That's a miss by the NFL. Real missed opportunity here. They should have tried to make that happen.
So you're welcome for introducing you to Storm Duck.
Storm Duck. What if Storm Duck has like a great game?
I kind of hope he does. Comes out like picks off Jacoby Brissett twice or something.
He's like on the cover of Sports Illustrated on Monday. It's like Duck Mania, Duck Sanity,
Ducks Gone Wild.
That would be something. All right. Well, yeah. All right. I'll be looking for Duck. I'll be looking for Duck out there. No question about it. The Miami Dolphins, a team that's had some drama, you could say, obviously, with the with Tyreek Hill. There's always drama following him around.
Always.
That whole thing that happened at the beginning of the year, our first show.
Insane.
We're sitting in here watching him get arrested on TV and, like, that whole thing leading into the game on their way over to the game. And it's not just him, but, you know, Campbell.
That feels like a year ago now, doesn't it?
John Smith and everything. It does feel like it happened a long time ago. That was this season. It wasn't even an offseason drama.
No.
That was in-season drama with this team.
Yeah, that was literally like week one. It was unbelievable. It feels like forever ago that happened. But you're right. This team always has drama. Kind of had that temper tantrum on the sideline last week, which is understandable, right? You see him do it, and it makes sense when the star receivers do it. You know, it's since the dawn of time. Keyshawn Johnson, throw me the damn ball. Like, all those guys. I get it. And then you see it with the Patriots and, like, Pop Douglas, like, yeah, like, I need to be more involved in the offense. Like, all right, bud, like, sit down. But with Tyreek Hill, I get it. And I think you're going to get a healthy dose of Tyreek Hill running the football, catching the football, all of the above. They are going to get the ball in Tyreek's hands as much as humanly possible.
Yeah. I'm a little relieved, too, by the way, and this is a dumb thing to be relieved by, but with this team, it's you got to take what you can get here. I'm glad that they didn't come out and say exactly what they planned on doing again this week. Like, last week.
That's good.
You know, we're going to do a lot of short passes, going to run it a lot. Like, we'll see what we can do. We're going to try and contain Brock Purdy. Like, these are all the things we're going to emphasize. None of them worked.
They definitely didn't contain
Brock
Purdy.
Every aspect of the game plan that they leaked out there early on in the week.
You came out and ripped Brock Purdy, and then he had, like, an awesome game.
Brock Purdy made me look pretty stupid last week.
Yes, he did.
No question about
that. He looked like Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, he was awesome last week, Brock Purdy. And part of it was me being, to quote Evan Lazar, hyperbolic.
A bit,
you know,
yes.
Some of it was a little bit of that there, but I mean, listen, I was never a huge fan of Purdy. I always thought he was something that was just a product of his environment. He went out there and he made the environment a product of him.
Yeah.
Like, he was that good.
I gotta say, I have always been a bit of a Purdy detractor as well. Mm-hmm. This season, though, he is making the 49ers offense roll, whereas in, like, last year, that was not the case. They were making him. This year, he is making them.
Yeah, and that was certainly a get-right game for them. Let's go to the phones. Dave is in Connecticut with a thought on the Patriots. Go ahead, Dave.
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
Hello, Dave.
Hey, I just wanted to talk to you. I called you a couple weeks ago about your prediction with San Francisco. New England was going to beat them. And,
last week. I don't remember that one, Dave. I don't remember the details of that. Someone from the show may have said something like that. I just can't. For the life of me, I can't remember. Anyway, what else do you have?
So how about this week? 16-13, you said this week they're going to win the Patriots again, huh?
I didn't say that.
No, that was Fitzy.
Oh, that was Fitzy. Okay. All right. You think they're going to win or lose this week?
I think they're going to lose this week. Yes. That was my last Hail Mary last week, Dave, I think. I don't think I'm picking them again for a while.
All right. You know, I appreciate that.
All right. What do you think they're going to do, Dave?
Are they going to get blown out?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, there you go.
Thanks for the call. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. If you're on your way over to Gillette or if you're hanging out in the parking lot, want to give us a call, feel free. We got lines open for you.
That just seems like the attitude of everyone around here. It's like, yeah, I think they're going to get blown out. Like, it's just, like, super depressing. Like, I don't even want to be around anymore.
By a team with no quarterback. Yeah, that's the thing.
It's so, I think you should leave, but it's,
I know.
It's hilarious.
And, like, Tommy Curry, listen, I mean, I was being a little tongue-in-cheek there in the beginning.
Of course.
But not really that much, you know? He's like, oh, I can't believe you're saying this on a sports talk stage.
Are you?
I can't believe this team is putting this product out here on the field. Like, that's what I can't believe. I can't believe that we have no offensive line. We have no wide receivers.
A guy employed by the team said teetering on mutiny, Tom.
We said there's a mutiny going on, you know? I mean, come on.
I don't think we're overstretching here.
What do you want from me? Like, this is not a game. You look at anybody who has to pick games for a living, any one of these handicappers, anybody. They're all like, I want nothing to do with this game.
Nothing.
I wish this game didn't exist.
Yeah. Like,
for bettors, for football viewers, for everybody. Patriots fans, Dolphins fans.
This is an affront to my eyes.
No one is excited about this, all right? No one is looking forward to what's about to happen today.
How dare you schedule this game on me?
Hello, seriously. Darkness, my old friend. That's where we are. Fitzy was on with us.
Yeah.
Fitzy. You're
the biggest homer
Fitzy
in the planet.
And he was despondent, and the game hasn't started yet. The game is not going to start for 3 hours, and Fitzy's like ready to bury himself in a hole.
So we talk about how upsetting this is. Do you think that the Crafts are impacted by this after the game? Do you think there's a chance that they see at halftime that like half the stadium is just like leaving because the Patriots are losing 20-0 at the half and they're just like, we need to change something, and they step in some way?
You know what? I see that possibly happening, but I also thought with the mutiny talk this week, what would be a good way to change the subject away from the mutiny?
Star Drake May?
Yeah. Wouldn't that be not just pivot. in terms of like headlines, because obviously it'd be better for the headlines.
Of course.
Wow, look, Drake May's playing. But isn't that part of what the mutiny's about, according
100%.
To Lazar?
Yeah, 100%. That like we're all out here getting our asses kicked where Drake is just kind of sitting on the sidelines.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, listen, you want to change the subject? You want to get, especially if they lose today.
Pull the Ferrari out of the garage.
You want to change the subject? You want to get people off your case? You want to get people like me to stop saying, let's skip these games and just, you know, move on to the next week or whatever? Then, yeah, maybe try changing the subject. Try that last thing you have in your little bag of tricks that could change the subject, because, I'm sorry, the hook and ladder last week didn't quite do it.
Do you think if they started Drake May, Tom Brady wouldn't have gotten reassigned off this game?
No, I think he would have anyway.
Still?
I think he would have anyway. Even with May playing, this is still not a high, you know, it's not.
If you do announce May playing, though, like next week immediately becomes must-see, right? You get to see Drake May versus C.J. Stroud. Like, that is good television, regardless of what you think of Drake May. Like, everybody would be excited for that.
Everybody around here would be. I don't know if it's going to have a big national impact, you know?
Maybe not.
Well, they didn't want to play this guy. How good can he be? Like, you know, like, there's always a bit of curiosity for a new player making his rookie debut. But, you know, we've already had like three rookie QBs play this year, and we've seen him for a month plus. And I don't know. I guess the shine's kind of off.
Jaden Daniels
has
been
bit.
Kind of awesome, though.
Oh, no, they've been great. I'm saying they've been getting better. But, like, that sort of takes the excitement away from a debut of a rookie quarterback.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. Yeah, you're probably right. It's more the excitement around here would be, like, palpable. Like, right now, it is obvious that everyone is despondent to the Patriots. But as soon as you announce that Drake May is going to be your starter, everybody will be excited again.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that, and it may not last long. I mean, listen,
no.
we saw how long that week one win lasted.
Or it could get better.
Or things could start looking up, and you could look like you really have something there at quarterback, something you can build around, which I cannot even explain how much
the joy
that would elevate
I would have
everything
in that.
Around here. It's like today when I heard Swayman signed, I was such a relief. It was just so happy.
Elated.
It finally happened. Thank God. Drake May is approaching that territory with me right now. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll get to your phone calls, and we'll talk with Andy Hart, host 2 of WEEI Afternoons. That's all coming up right after Chris Schein tells you what's trending.
Jacoby Brissett going to keep getting up. He's getting the start today. He's going to be behind, comparatively speaking, except for David Andrews, a decent offensive line here for these Patriots. With Vidarian Lowe back at left tackle, it's going to be, I think, projecting starters here. Lowe, Jordan, or did you say Lowe, Robinson, or So?
I believe it's going to be Lowe, So, Leverett, Robinson,
and Unwenu, yes. Okay, I mean, listen, all things considered, and I understand, you know, you want Andrews out there, especially to set up the run game. The run game hasn't exactly been killing it with him in there, and right now I think it's more important you protect this QB off the edge a little bit longer and give him a chance to go out and make a play. Now, last week, there were some opportunities where Jacoby Brissett had time to throw, and he either threw a pick to Fred Warner, he had time on that throw, or
two guys wide open,
missed guys in other instances, and that's when you saw some of the Jalen Polk, Pop Douglas little temper tantrums on the sideline there, which, by the way, or not even on the sideline, right on the field. I don't have a huge problem with that. I don't have a problem with guys being frustrated and stamping their feet a little.
Especially
on the
receivers,
sideline.
That's what you want.
It's one thing if you're doing it over and over and over again and you're just completely toxic and ruining everybody's good time. But, you know, who's having a good time on this team, I guess, is the question there. For Jacoby Brissett, we've discussed this sort of on and off over the course of the show. It's going to be an interesting to see the dynamic between the crowd and the offense and everybody now. You've had so few home games that you see Brissett out there. You see this team struggling to move the ball. You see it on TV. It's a different thing to see it up close. I wonder how the fans are going to react to that.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. And I don't know if you and Hart talked about this stat for you during the week, but Ian Hart, it's over at Fantasy Life, had this. It's wild that Jacoby Brissett has the 8th highest average time to throw in the NFL. Even though the offensive line has been bad, Jacoby Brissett still has time to throw, and he's just missing guys. Like, that's the thing with Jacoby Brissett, is he's not processing as quickly as you would hope a veteran quarterback does. He doesn't change the protections at the line of scrimmage. Hell, he never audibles out of a play. Like, you never even hear him. Announcers talk about it all the time, right? You'll hear a quarterback go kill, kill, kill,
right,
because they're changing the play at the line of scrimmage. You never hear that from Jacoby Brissett, which is one of the reasons I thought they were starting him in the first place, because he understood this system. He understood the playbook so well that he could do those things, when in reality he cannot. So it's just like, I just, at this point with him leading the offense, I just don't have any faith in their ability. Like, I don't see a ceiling that is, you know, usable in the NFL. Like,
yeah.
It's just, you put yourself at such a disadvantage right now with this, and you need to figure some things out. And the receivers have the right to get frustrated, right? Like, on that Fred Warner play, Pop Douglas was wide bleeping open.
Yeah. And running into more open space.
Yes, and yeah. You watch the tape, and he is constantly open. Jalen Polk, another nerd stat for you. There's a new stat known as ass. Jalen Polk has a great ass. Average separation
Jalen
score.
Jalen Polk is ass.
Yeah, no, has a great ass.
Oh, he's got a great ass.
He's got a great ass because he has an excellent separation score. Guys have gone back and charted how you're getting open, who you're getting open against. He has a separation score on par with guys like CeeDee Lamb.
Is that what ass is, separation
yes,
score?
Yes, average separation score. And there's a whole chart. I retweeted it actually just yesterday. I love ass. It's a great stat. I highly recommend you go check it out. But like, he's on par with guys like Malik Nabers. Him and Malik Nabers have the same, very similar.
Same ass.
Yeah, same ass. And yet Malik Nabers is getting peppered with targets, and Jalen Polk can get like 2 a game. And so I think it's really hopeful for Jalen Polk once this offense starts to make strides, but they're going to have to change the quarterback in order to do
that. Well, speaking of ass, joining us on the program right now is your friend and mine, Mr. Andy Hart.
Yeah, that one.
Here is, you set me up there. Come on, what am I not going to do that?
Good job by you.
Andy Hart, who is host 2 on WEEI Afternoons with yours truly, as well as the Six Rings post-game show and the Six Rings podcast, and today also going to be the Six Rings halftime show with Nick Fitzy Stevens. Andy, how you doing, my friend?
I am tremendous. How are you guys?
Good. Good to have you on. Good to talk with you. We've been discussing a lot of things, mostly the mutiny today, and also some of the things that are getting tossed around here since the inactives have come out. We just went over the offensive line. Aside from David Andrews, this is about as healthy and ready to go as the offensive line's been all year, yeah?
Yeah, so I guess we got that going for us.
It's nice. Something, right? I started negative with Tommy Kern. He jumped down my throat. So I'm starting positive with you here, Andy.
Okay, good, because there's plenty of negative to harp on. I'm sure we can get to the safeties situation. But yeah, the offensive line is the same unit or close to the unit that I saw getting its ass kicked on the practice field in early August. So I guess that's good. And I mean, the Dolphins are not exactly monsters of the midway on defense. So today you'd hope that maybe Brissett, and I know you guys are just talking about it, has the time to go through his progressions and actually make some plays. And, you know, maybe Kendrick Bourne is a guy that can make some plays, and maybe there's more opportunities here. But, you know, the flip side is, as I said, with the safety position down two starters, my guess is Snoop Huntley, as he settles in with the Dolphins and the weapons that he has to work with, is probably hoping that he has some more opportunities. So maybe this dog of a game that pretty much everybody was predicting to be like, oh, 16-14 or 14-10, maybe we'll get a few more highlights if the quarterbacks have time to make some plays.
Do you expect Snoop Huntley to be better this week after what you saw against Tennessee? Like, he wasn't great. He wasn't horrendous, but he was by no means good. And so do you expect him to be better now having another week with the Dolphins and those weapons?
Absolutely. I think you and I and everyone else, we can't really argue we want to see Drake May get experience and then say the quarterback that got a little experience, who was signed off, you know, came off the street basically, isn't going to be better with experience. So I also think Mike McDaniel, who's supposed to be a genius, should probably find some ways to get Snoop Huntley comfortable and do some Snoop Huntley things. I think there's opportunities for him on the ground, the run game. He is a mobile guy, but certainly and just the foundational aspects of this Dolphins offense includes a lot of work for the quarterback. I've been calling it histrionics. I don't really know what the technical term is for it, but there's a lot of foot movement, fakes, ball movement, just various things that go into what they were doing with Tua that, yeah, if you're there now a week longer, you should be able to do some of the things your coach is looking for. So, yeah, I certainly, as much as this looks like a 31 versus 32 dog of a game, two teams that can't score, I actually think a few more points might get scored than people are expecting.
Yeah, well, when there's no safeties and a bunch of deep threats on the other side, right, I'd imagine the Dolphins would probably score a little bit. How are the Patriots going to score?
That's a great question. I mean, they got rid of the fumbler, the bad villain in this season, and replaced him with the fumbler, Antonio Gibson, who has a career issue of putting the ball on the ground, had more fumbles than touchdowns a year ago for the Commanders.
It's like when they throw Mo out, or they throw Barney out of Mo's, and then he shows up behind them again. That's
yes.
Basically the same thing.
Yep,
there, yeah.
Yep. So there's... This offense is due to make some plays. I just feel that. I just can't believe that, and these guys are NFL linemen and an NFL quarterback and NFL wide receivers. At some point, they're going to make plays. It's like, how can I watch the kid from Alabama who's 17 make plays? And I'm not saying anybody on this team has his talent, so don't get me wrong. But make these beautiful artistic plays, sometimes bordering on a little bit of good fortune and luck. And then a team full of NFL players can't do it every once in a while. I'm not looking for consistency, but I think sooner or later, somebody's got to break a tackle, break free. Brissett has to hit Pop Douglas in open space, and he runs. So, you know, the old Christian Fourier law of they are due in terms of both offenses may be in play today.
So, Andy, we talked about this the Miami offense a little bit. When it comes to the Patriots defense, is yeah. there a way that they are going to be able to limit this offense? Like, I expect Snoop Huntley to be better. I agree with you. But with the lack of the safeties, the front seven hasn't quite been as good as we had hoped. I don't think that the secondary in general has been as good as we had hoped. Like, is there a way to limit this offense, or is it just, are you just going to get gashed by speed and ability?
I think that's a definite concern. Now, if you're wanting to be optimistic, there's ways. Jonathan Jones has been sneaky good against Tyreek Hill over the years. That's been a matchup that hasn't been the mismatch that you might normally think it would be. And also, Tyreek Hill has been terrible for the last 3 weeks. Not getting in the end zone, no real yards. And obviously,
he fumbled a lateral last week.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, and he's a head case right now. I think yeah. he's feeling it. Like, as good as he was last year, this feels like it's going in the opposite direction, where he's just a little snake bitten and the quarterback's hurt and he's uncomfortable and all, you know, starting off with the season with the getting arrested and getting cuffed on the sidewalk. I just think this has been kind of a nightmare for him all fall, but he's too good to really think that'll continue, but you never really know. Marte Mapu getting out there, you remember he got toasted by the Dolphins last year. I don't love him as a coverage safety if he's going to be involved in that. Del Pettis and Hawkins, you're going to have some guys out there. Not only do I not know how good they are, I don't know how well they're going to communicate. I think that's maybe as big a question. What's the communication going to be like in the back end with new safeties? Probably a rotation. You're probably not going to see the same couple guys all game long. I think there's going to, and this is a team that's already talked about communication issues in previous weeks on the defensive side of the ball. You lose two key veterans back there. That's a concern. But you have guys in Jonathan Jones and Christian Gonzalez, the way he's played. You know, I don't think it's a great matchup for him because you got two really fast, quick receivers, and this is going to test his quickness and athleticism. I think he likes some of the bigger, I can get physical with him, I'm a long corner matchups. But you have some bodies back there at corner that have stayed relatively healthy that should be competitive, hopefully, today. The front, I'm going to be interested to see what Miami can get going on the ground. You know, this whole Shanahan-McDaniel philosophy does include the run game a lot, and I'll be interested to see what they can do. You're getting further and further away from the loss of Bentley. There's probably more film for these offenses to study to see how they want to attack a defense without Bentley. I don't think McMillan has been great. Tavai is sort of bumped up to a bigger role. So there's questions about the heart of the defense, the middle of the defense, with the safety in the linebacker position. And that's a part of the field, both on the ground and through the air, I would expect Mike McDaniel to target.
We're talking to Andy Hart of the Six Rings Podcast and WEEI Afternoons, who joins us here on the Football Sunday, WEEI. We've been talking about the mutiny all day, and you and I, obviously, Andy, have been talking about it for the last 72-plus hours. When a team like this, and it's for people around here, younger fans in particular, it's been a while since, you know, there was talk of checking out by week five of an NFL season. But with all that sort of talk and with a winnable game here, and I'm using winnable in air quotes, but it's a team with no quarterback that you're playing. Is this the type of game where if they do lose, the mutiny calls are going to get louder next week and will be true? I mean, is that something that could happen here with a loss this afternoon?
I don't believe mutiny is the proper word. You know that. I said that a lot this week. I think it's more lose the locker room, become just dysfunctional, become a lost season. These are human beings, and they know what's going on. And they know if you go to 1-4 and look at what's ahead and how much talent you have and the injuries that are mounting, that this is becoming a lost season. And as much as they'll tell us they are professionals and they're going to, you know, fight every week and give everything they've got, they're also human beings, and human nature slides in. So I do believe this is a sort of must-win game in a weird way to salvage some competitive culture for the rest of the season. I do not believe a mutiny will take place. I do believe that they enjoy, fight, whatever you want to call it, for Gerard Mayo. I don't think they're looking to run him out of town, which is what the mutiny term would imply. I just think they might start making business decisions and, you know, my hammy's a little sore this week and I'm 1-4. Why am I going to push to get out there? Or, I don't know, some running back is running at me. Am I really going to throw my body on the line? Does it really matter at this point? Hell, the team seems like they want a high draft pick. So I think all of that will seep in if they lose this game to the Dolphins today. And then we're going to really find out what Gerard Mayo is all about as a leader and culture. Because I think, you know my phrase, Christian, losing is undefeated. And when you lose to a team like the Dolphins at home, although they're no longer a favorite, right? The line switched.
The Dolphins are a 2-point favorite.
Yeah, they're up to two now.
Yeah, so there was like a 3-point swing late here in the week. But whether you're a favorite or not, you're at home and it feels like a winnable game. If you lose that, the losing is really going to build pressure on this entire organization.
Well, Andy, you talk about kind of finding out what Gerard Mayo is made of if they lose this game. Like, do you have hope that he'd be able to get these guys back on track? Or are you kind of already starting to lose hope 5 weeks into the season?
I'm starting to lose hope. And it's not really about Mayo in a way. It's about what I just said. Losing is undefeated. I mean, it crushed Bill Belichick. I think losing crushes almost every coach. It is just so difficult, especially over the course of a long season. You know, it'd be one thing if you started 4-2 and then the losing piled up. You started 1-0. You probably felt better about yourself than you should have. And since then, it's really been on the decline. You kind of gagged away a potential win the next week. Then you've failed to show up 2 straight weeks, if this is another ugly day, I mean, I do think the Dolphins are capable of putting up points. I know nothing would suggest that this season, the way they've played.
I mean, they did just score 70 a year ago.
Right. And we all don't love Tua. So it's hard for some of us to believe, wait, Tua's gone and you can't score some points. You can't find your way into the end zone occasionally. And with those two athletes, that I still go with the game plan. If I'm Mike McDaniel, I treat it like a high school game and I'm trying to get 15 touches for Hill and 15 touches for Waddle and say they're the best athletes on the field. Sooner or later, somebody's not going to tackle them. And if that happens from a Patriots perspective, if there's a couple big plays for Waddle, big plays for Hill, and all of a sudden you lose this game, say 28-6, I think the boo birds will be out. I think the calls for Drake May are going to grow. I think the questions about the culture that Gerard Mayo is setting are going to grow, whether fair or not, because I actually don't think it'll be fair. I go back to a very simple thing. I saw the talent on the field in May, and that's when I said they might go 0-17. I don't think it has anything to do with the culture or the coaching. I think it has everything to do with they're not a very talented football team. They weren't in May, they're not in October, and they won't be in December.
Do we see Drake May today?
Yes. I'm going to say hopefully. It's just hopeful optimism.
Like in garbage time or something?
Yes, garbage time. But I also think, you know, we now have these conflicting reports. I told you it stunk when Bedard's telling me, oh, Drake May's just not ready. I'm talking to people. He's not ready. And then Breer says, he's really trending in the right way, and he's getting much better at the blitz this week, and he's getting real close. I think 21-3 in the fourth quarter. Drake may come in, and maybe that's the opportunity to never come out again.
All right. Well, you heard it here first. That is the voice of Andy Hart. You can hear him at halftime on the Six Rings halftime show and also Six Rings postgame. You'll hear him on Monday with me on WEEI afternoons at 2 o'clock. Andy, I'll talk to you soon.
See you guys.
Bye, Andy.
Right, that's Andy Hart, and you can stick around here. We got one more segment to go. It is our famous pop, lock, and drop segment where we'll tell you everything going on in the NFL, what to expect, what to lock in, what to drop, and who's going to pop. That's all coming up next. All right, we got a few more minutes here. WEEI Football Sunday. Christian Arkan, Shime Time in here as well. Any thoughts, final thoughts on this game? That was Ross Tucker, by the way, with us on Tuesday, calling this the battle for the basement, which I agree. It's what we got here. These are the Miami Dolphins team that is probably looking at the rest of the schedule and thinking this is about as winnable a game as we have left. Patriots looking at it thinking this is about as winnable a game as we have left. Something's got to give here. It's like the opposite of an unstoppable force and an immovable object, like a very stoppable force, a very movable object.
Yeah, I don't
both hitting each other. What's going to happen?
I don't think this is the battle for the basement. I think the battle for the basement's going to happen in a couple weeks where the Patriots play the Titans. That, to me, seems...
Or the Jaguars.
Or the Jaguars in 2 weeks in London. That's fair, too. Like, I think both of those are more battle for the basement than this. I think Miami is going to have a bit of a surge in the second half of the season when Tua comes back. That's my guess. Because Tua will be back in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, I agree, which is unfortunate. I don't think he should come back.
I agree.
But this is the way it is, and this is the world we live in.
Correct.
And he's an adult, and the team's got a contract. So I think they'll definitely try and bring him back. All right, without any further ado, then, let's get to it. It is time for Pop, Lock, and Drop. All right, Chris Scheim, who's popping?
Yeah, for me this week, this is an easy one. Give me Caleb Williams. He's going to have the best week so far of his rookie career this week. He is at home against the Carolina Panthers. I know it has looked rough at times, but this Panthers defense is not good. And I think Caleb Williams is still coming along, and I think he's going to look great this week. Give me Caleb Williams to pop against the Panthers.
All right. That's a very, very optimistic look there at Caleb Williams, who has been good, not great, I'd say, so far. He's had his ups and downs. This is the week where Chris Scheim thinks he is going to finally pop. And, like, really pop, not just have, like, a lot of yards and a couple interceptions, like, a legitimately good game.
Yeah, like a, like, 250-plus, three-touchdown type of performance.
Wow, okay. That's a big one there. All right, my pop is also a bit of an ambitious one here. I'm going with the Cleveland offense, the Cleveland Browns. And the only reason I'm going with this is because they're playing Washington today. Washington's given up a lot of points. They gave up a ton of points to the Bengals. They gave up a ton of points to the Buccaneers in week one when they lost to them. Cleveland's better and Deshaun Watson's better when they're not in Cleveland. So I think that between Amari Cooper, Jerry Jeudy, Elijah Moore, I think, is their other wide receiver, and Njoku, the tight end, who did a weird interview in his boxers this week, which I don't know if you saw that. Some guy definitely checking him out over there, too. This is, I think, a week where you're going to see the Cleveland offense come alive a little bit. So they're going to be my pops for the week. All right, who is your lock?
My lock this week, I am going to go with the Derrick Henry over rush yards. The Cincinnati Bengals defense has been porous, and that's being complimentary. That the rush defense has been non-existent, and Derrick Henry is finally getting going. Back-to-back weeks over 100 yards, has basically 200 last week, and the line's only at 83.5 this week. Not high enough. Give me the over on 83.5 for Derrick Henry.
All right, my lock of the week is the Seattle Seahawks, -7, taking on the Giants in Seattle. I mean, I don't think the Giants are any good. They got Neighbors out this week, who's their only real weapon on offense. The Seahawks have been good. They're good at home. I think they're going to win this game by like 35 points. So my lock of the week is going to be Seattle -7, which I think is still where that line is. It's where it was last I checked.
It is still 7.
At home against Big Blue and the New York Giants. I think the Giants stink anyway, even when they have Neighbors out there. I still think this would be a blowout. Without them, I think it's an easy one. So give me Seattle -7 as my lock. All right, what are you dropping?
Yeah, my drop game, it's kind of antithetical. I'm gonna drop the Buffalo Bills-Houston Texans game. I don't want to touch it. And it's more so just because I think both teams are good, but I just don't know how good. You watch the Bills for 3 weeks, they dominated, it felt like.
Looked like the best team in the NFL.
And then got absolutely smashed by Derrick Henry. The Houston Texans, week one, the offense was like, oh, this is going to be awesome. Then Joe Mixon went out. They've been kind of hit or miss. They had that awful game against the Vikings. So I just don't know exactly what these teams are yet. I know they're both good.
Texans, but both their running backs are out.
Correct. I don't know how good.
Both out, yeah.
Also, update for you, Aaron Rodgers just threw a game-clenching pick to Minnesota. So that's going to be a win for the Vikings.
I'm 0 for 1 on the week already. There you go. And Shimes 1-0.
Yes,
sir. So maybe you should be listening to him and not me here as this first game. First game in London for the London series now. Looks like it's over here. Rodgers with his third pick of the game. Looks like the Vikings are going to win this one 23-17, barring something crazy. That's the way week one. Well, I guess week one technically started on Thursday, but for the Sunday games anyway, that's the way that one's going to end. My game to drop, that would be Las Vegas and Denver. You talk about two teams, you're not sure what they are. I don't know what either of these teams are. I thought Denver last week was very impressive looking in that win over the Jets. It was a 10-9 win, the defense anyway. The offense sucked. But even the offense, whatever you think about Bo Nix, he played that whole game in terrible weather and then led a scoring drive at the end of that game. And that's the kind of experience
Nails.
I wish Drake May was getting.
100%
you know,
agree.
Like, that was not a good game for him. No one looked good in that game.
No.
Rodgers had a bad game. Nix had a bad game.
He did throw his first career touchdown pass, though. I believe.
Was that his first career touchdown
pass? I think
pass?
So, yeah.
Okay, so even more then, all right? That's another reason right there why you should have May out there and playing, because of games like that, I honestly believe that. I think that was good experience for Bo Nix. I don't know what kind of career he's going to have, but I think that was the type of thing you look at and think, yeah, you know, this kid's coming along a little bit. But even with that said, the defense going against the Raiders who somehow were able to beat the Ravens in that one game, I don't want anything to do with anything there. That's the one that I'm going to drop. The Sharps can have that one.
I like that.
I'm out. All right, let's take one quick call here before we go. Bob's on the Cape. Bob, what's up?
Hey, I'm curious of opinion of all you guys there.
Mm-hmm.
Since Brady left, how many people do you think turned in their season tickets for the Patriots?
Good question. How many people do you think have turned in their tickets since Tom Brady left? I would say there's probably some. There's probably a handful. I don't think it was as many as you may expect, Bob. And the other thing is there's a big wait list.
Yep.
So even if you did turn them in, someone was right there ready to go ahead and
I think a lot of people were excited when they drafted Mac Jones and he had a good rookie season.
Right.
And so those season ticket holders stayed. I think you've seen more leave over the last couple years. But then I think once Drake May hits the field, those numbers might climb back up again. So there you go.
I could see that. I could see that for sure. And you're so right about the Mac Jones year.
Yeah, because everybody was amped out of their mind.
Yeah, Bill was a genius. Ryan Clark called him a god.
Yep.
Remember that? He's like,
Josh McDaniels got another head coaching gig.
Yeah, and it looked like not only did you have your quarterback, the quarterback of the future, but Bill Belichick would be able to just coach as long as he wanted to. He could retire as soon as he hit Shula's record, which he'd do any minute because he had this good team again, winning 10, 11 games a year. It seemed like everything was on pace for a perfect ending where Belichick gets to ride off into the sunset and be the hero forever. And instead, it did not go that way.
Nope, I was right all along. Mac Jones stinks.
It went a little bit differently than that, I would say. Mac Jones is now a backup, and Bill Belichick is now hosting millions of shows all across the media landscape.
He's still making a lot of money.
And the internet and doing all of that. That is all the time we have here on a Football Sunday. Chris Sean,
fun.
Great job. I want to say thanks to Mego, who left us, unfortunately. I want to say thanks to Fitzy. I want to say thanks to Tom E. Kern. I want to say thanks to Andy Hart. No thanks to Wiggy this week because he forgot the keys. And, of course, big thanks to Jacob back there behind the glass. Great job. We'll be back next Sunday at 10 a.m. We'll talk to you then right here on WEEI.
See ya.